Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Charleston Guest Liners Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lassiter.
Good morning and welcome to Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. We're coming to you live from Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located right here in the heart of Mobile, Alabama. A wet, soggy, cloudy, boy, pouring down rain Saturday morning. And we are presented by our good friends at Alpha. And good morning to each and every one of you. Mark Lassiter stuck in the tunnel. I'm going to tell you right now, we got bad weather here in Mobile this morning. And you folks at Fox Sports Central, out of Talladega County, I hope you guys are not having that kind of weather, and you people in the river region, it doesn't look good on the radar there either. So we'll do the best we can, and Mark will be coming in here soon, I'm sure. And, of course, he had a baseball game last night. Bayside Academy and Houston Academy split a doubleheader. They're supposed to play the IF game today. I would imagine that game will be in trouble. And I would assume that we'll play that IF game on Monday, and so that's where we are. Congratulations to Kevin Raley and the UMS Wright Bulldogs as they swept Charles Henderson yesterday in a 9-1-7-0 doubleheader. So they will move on, and we will move on and give you all those baseball scores just a little bit later. But first of all, of course, most of you got breaking news this week, and the executive director of the Alabama High School Athletic Association, Steve Savarese, has announced his retirement, and that's going to be effective in July, and I would imagine the 1st of July, and I'm sure he can tell us that when we speak to him here in a minute. But been the executive director since 2006, 15 years, and I'm telling you, he poured his heart and soul into that job and will continue to do that until the last day he leaves that office. I'm sure he will be the guy that will kind of educate his successor and bring him on board. So without further ado, let's bring Coach in, Coach Steve Savarese. Coach, good morning and welcome again.
Good morning, Rick.
Hold on. Don't jump too fast. Good morning and welcome to Prep Sports Report, and I hope you are doing well. We're going to meet you the way you always meet each and every person you meet.
Good morning, Rick. How are you, pal?
I'm good. And I think all of us were, I speak for me personally. I'm excited for what's about to happen for you and Beth and the family, and especially all the grandchildren. You don't miss any more birthday parties. Stephen laid that on you, and I know that was tough. I know that, but talk just a little bit about what went through your mind. And Mark will be coming in here, and he said, golly, Rick, we're going to have Steve on for 30 minutes. You know, I got a lot of things. I said, Mark, you're not going to do that. No, don't ask Steve any questions. We're going to talk.
Well, just remember, I get the microphone last. I know that.
But talk just a little bit about the process that you went through with this, and then we'll get on to some things that are going on the high school arena.
But during December of last year, I got COVID, and when I got COVID, I really didn't have very many symptoms or problems or issues with COVID. Very, very fortunate, a lot more than some folks. And my kids sat me down with my wife during Christmas vacation, and they said to me, they said, you know, Dad, how many more birthdays you gonna miss? You got a break on COVID right here. You've had heart disease, and, you know, it's how many more quality years you have left to spend with the kids. And you know, I reflected. I talked to the board in January, and I let them know I was considering retirement. They asked me to stay at least and get us through COVID, and I said I would do that. And I was either going to work another year for me or I could retire for everyone else, and that's why I chose to do it now. And, you know, my kids, my grandkids are 6, 6, 10, and 4, and My grandchildren love to fish, and they love to hang around. They call me Coachy, and they love to hang around me. And they're ready to do some things with me. And, you know, Rick, and I coach with you. We've done so much. Well, we've given our time to so many other children, and our children have suffered, you know, maybe because of that. And
yeah.
I just said, you know, I don't know how many years I have left, but I do want to spend it with my kids.
You better hire your fishing guides, what I can tell you.
Well, I know that. It doesn't matter, though. As long as I can put a line in the water, I'm happy.
I would tell the story about playing golf with you, but I'll save that for another show.
Don't worry. Hey, let me tell you, I had somebody give me a set of golf clubs on my 60th birthday, thinking I would probably be close to retirement then.
Yeah.
And I still got the plastic on them, Rick, so if you need an old set of golf clubs, let me know.
No, Lassiter does, though, I promise. He's got some Tony Lima 1945 ones, so we gotta suit him. We got to get him set up. You know, Steve, is, you know, 15 years in that job is a long time. I don't know how long Mr. Scott, of course, I think I had 15 years worth of worth of lectures from him just sitting in his office on different occasions.
Did.
Yeah. I don't know how long Coach Scott did it, but I don't know how long Coach Washburn did it. But you have certainly extended your time in a manner which has been so well chronicled, because you've had to deal with so many issues that nobody else ever had to deal with. And probably COVID was as tough as any situation that any executive director anywhere in America has had to deal with. And going through that, and we've said it 100 times on this show, you and your staff were adamant, and it wasn't mandated, but I'm telling you, it was just to the point of, guys, we want our children to play ball. And that decision that you and your team made has come to fruition, and what a wonderful decision that was, Steve.
Well, we're very fortunate it turned out the way we did. And I've said it from the beginning, I'll say it to the end. You know, I respect everyone's opinion of how they dealt with an unknown. And that's what COVID was, even though, Rick, you did tell me that I was around in 1918 and experienced the first pandemic, and that's why we did so well. But I'm just going to let that go, Rick, but that's okay.
Yeah.
But this situation, we had so many people that helped us. You know, right in from Talladega, Dr. Scott Harris.
Yeah.
He was awesome, awesome. Our medical advisory board, State Department of Education, our educational associations, all of us worked together. And we just, based on the doctor's recommendation, we took 1 week at a time. And we always said to ourselves, if we can get 1 week, that's one more that our kids will have that they may not have had. And then when we got 2 weeks, we were thankful. And here we are today. We're going to finish our spring sports and not have any crowd limitations. It's going to be a sense of normalcy, still respecting the CDC guidelines. But we're just grateful. And I've had thousands of emails or correspondences from parents and a lot of kids. And it's really been neat, because that's what I miss the most, being around the kids.
Yeah.
Thanking us for giving that opportunity. And as I've presented awards at the end of championships, I've had so many kids come up to me and say, thank you for letting us play. And for that purpose alone, it was all worthwhile.
You know, and we've only got about a minute in this segment. We're going to keep Steve over as Mark drags in here late for a meeting, Steve. He doesn't even get a Burger King biscuit.
Well, I'm used to that. Just another day.
Yeah. So Ben Thomas has done a wonderful job covering everything, especially about your retirement. But he made a statement in the paper. He said, you know, the thing I love about Steve Savarese, among many things, is he always respected other people's opinions. I'm going to call Ben after the show today, and I'm going to say, Ben, you never, ever were in one of our staff meetings. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I've learned a lot. I'm hopefully a better person today than I was yesterday.
No, you were never. You were always an amazing person. But I'm going to tell you right now, some of those suggestions that came out from some of our staff members, you handled it with a lot more class than I ever could, pal. I can tell you that. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk just a little bit about things going on in the future and what you see as the future of the Alabama High School Athletic Association. And we've got to touch on private and public and, you know, just kind of get a temperature of where that might be 10 years from now. We'll be back with Steve Savarese. Not going to cover it up, guys. This is a guy that I love dearly. We'll be back with him talking about the Alabama High School Athletic Association. More with Steve Savarese right here on PSR and Fox Sports Central.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gaslanders Prep Sports Report. This segment presented by Green & Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now back to the show.
All right, welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. That would be Steely Dan. Yep, that's Walter Becker, late Donald Fagan. And they are the consistent two on PSR for 18 years, along with the other one is by Skaggs.
By Skaggs.
Yes, sir. That's the way. And Andrew Zow did tell me that he had turned – literally told me this, said he'd turned Dabo Swinney in from a country music listener.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, to Steely Dan and Boss Gags. So they're playing that in.
I knew there was help for Dabo out there somewhere.
There's big, big music going on in that new facility that they got where they got bowling alleys and swimming pools. And we're talking to Coach Steve Savarese, Executive Director of the Alabama High School Athletic Association. And, Coach, I'm not going to let you get on the mark because, I mean, I know it was a consistent thing with him and Blackman coming in, Benjamin Russell coaching.
Let's move forward, please.
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Coach. How are you, bud?
I'm great, pal. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. Well.
Coach, one day when you and I and Mark do this show that we've long talked about, I want you to spend an hour talking about Mark and John Blackman and what great stories.
And I mean that with all my heart. They coached with a lot of passion. They lived their life with a lot of passion. And it was a pleasure for me to coach with them. And there was one intangible with both of them. They loved those kids. And that's why we had good teams, because you had coaches like Coach Blackman and Coach Lasseter. So I was blessed to coach with them.
I have never heard him be so kind to you and John.
It's true.
Steve, you have mellowed in your old age.
Thank you, Coach.
Friend.
I appreciate the kind words, buddy.
And I meant every word.
I know.
I can't hear him. I really can't. That's something I tried to do for a few years. Now I can't hear him in my earphone. But coaches
just take them off.
Yeah, probably so.
Coach would just take them off. He got aggravated.
And
at
he'd
us.
Throw them. I mean, I'm sorry, Steve.
Just because we're running a play and it's very successful, we ran it again. And Mark kept telling me, change the play, Coach, run another play.
Counter dive.
I said, why, Mark? We just gained 15 yards twice. Let's make them stop it. And he's don't run it. No. So, we ran it again. And they got another 15 yards. Oh. So, we ran it 7 times and scored.
We sure did.
And I said, Mark, next time we'll run a new play. That's what I told
him. How many times?
Then he told me to go get some popcorn. Or something. He goes, you may as well go get popcorn.
Mark, you remember the announcer, the PA announcer, came off, and it was towards the end of the game.
Here
we go. They still had hot dogs and popcorn left, no half price. I said, go down and get some. We'll have some after the game.
How many times did he tell you, Mark, do I need to come do your job?
More than once. And usually that was on Monday or Tuesday.
Clay asked me one night, he said, Daddy, Coach Savarese is going to have to do everybody's job. I said, well, Clay, he can. I can promise you.
But I'll tell you, we kid about it a lot. And we kid about a lot of things that went on. And I've told this many times, and I'll keep telling it. I learned the game of football with Steve Savarese and Benjamin Russell. Yeah. That's how I learned the game. On that board, we would be on that board. And John was in there. John had all kinds of ideas, and we were always going over stuff. But that's how I learned the game. And I learned I learned a lot about coaching in those years, about how to do things correctly. And I can never repay you for that, Coach Sav. I can't. Never can.
Well, it was my honor to work with all of y'all. And I'll never forget John Blackman at our first coaches meeting. He said, Coach, all we want to do is win. We'll do whatever you ask us to do. Yeah. And he said, I just want to be successful and be a better coach. And that's the way John approaches it every day.
That is true.
He's an awesome individual.
Yeah, he really is.
Steve, as you look back, as you look into the next couple of months that you're accountable for, because you are the guy that holds accountability near and dear to your heart in every aspect of life. And as we go through this and as we prepare for the future, what is the one or a couple of things that really are heavy on your heart that you want to see really manifest itself into something that is even more than maybe we can visualize right now?
Well, I think the primary focus of our association that was formed by 98 principals 100 years ago, they wanted an independent body, a private association, to maintain fairness and integrity in sport. And for 100 years, starting this month, that's what the Alabama High School Athletic Association has done. When I first took this job, Dan Washburn and Bubba Scott, and God rest Bubba's soul, they sat right across from me in my office, and Mr. Scott picked up the handbook, and he said, you have two books that should be of primary importance to you. Number one is the Bible. And number two, he said, is this book. He said, your schools made these rules. Your job is to uphold these rules, regardless of whether you like them or not. He said, your job is to govern all children fairly and all schools fairly. And don't be arbitrary, and don't do something for one child that you wouldn't do for another. Well, that has remained of the primary focus for me. I can promise you I've never deviated from that. And what I hope that our association will continue to do is to treat every child, the child that's less fortunate to the child that's more fortunate, the school that's less fortunate to the school that's more fortunate. I hope they all hold them to the same standards. And I also want to say this to the schools. If the schools have got to create rules that give kids the most opportunity in a different era, and I talk to them all the time about that, and I'm very proud that they just passed, it'll be effective June 1st, to do away with the 50% rule. Y'all have probably heard me say before, I don't know how we tell a child what to do on their own time.
Yep.
But that was a rule of the schools. Now, we always get the blame for the rules, and I understand that. It takes a lot of courage to look somebody in the eye and tell them, well, I'm responsible for making this rule, and all they're doing is upholding it. Instead of saying, oh, that's the AHSA rule. Yeah. We don't make rules. We just govern rules. And any time a school comes into our office and appeals a ruling, I always look how they voted for that rule.
Yep.
And that's the first question I ask them. Why are you appealing a rule that you voted for? Why don't you use the process we have to do away with that rule? And there are rules that we govern on, Rick, that I've opposed. And that's the hardest part of my job.
Yeah, I know that.
Because I know how it affects kids. But that is my biggest concern, And I see outside entities like legislative bodies, you know, they're starting to get more involved in athletic associations across the state.
Yep.
And I understand the passion that's with athletics, and from their heart, they think they're doing the right thing by getting involved.
Yeah.
But what happens when an association is not able to work out their issues between the schools? Then you'll start doing something for one you won't do for another.
Absolutely.
For 100 years,
yep.
This association, we think, has been one of, if not the best in the country. And that's what I worry about, not for the next 2 years. I worry about it for the next 100 years,
yep.
That we
right.
still yep. treat, even though sometimes we have to rule a kid ineligible,
yeah.
We follow the rules and treat all kids equally. People don't remember or think of, we have 156,000 student athletes. We rule less than 50 ineligible a year.
Yes.
And those 99.9% of them could be prevented if the adults in charge were proactive with our rules.
You know what, pal? You have lived by that oath. Mm-hmm. And I won't. Heck fire. We're going to spend hours talking with you once July gets here. And so much to say and so much to praise. Thank you, pal. We love you, and that comes from the top to the bottom of our heart. And thank you for what you've done for the last 47 years. Thank you, pal.
It's been a great ride, Rick. Thank you. I'm glad I got to share it with both of y'all. That was a great time in my life. And I look forward to sharing future days together.
Can't
only
wait.
Just not on a specific time.
That's right, brother.
Take care, brother. We
Take
love
care,
you.
Take care, man.
Right. We love you.
Love you guys.
You too,
we'll
pal.
Be back with the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. The CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Now, back to the show.
Jack and Diane painted a picture of my life and my dreams. Suddenly, this crazy world made more sense to me. Well, I heard it today and I couldn't help but sing along. 'Cause every time I hear that song, I go back to a two-tone short-bed Chevy, driving my first love.
All right, welcome back to the Charleston Oaks Gas Lanterns, Charleston Gas Lanterns, PSR, Fox Sports Central. You know, it's Kenny Chesney. We're sitting up on that mountain in Franklin, Tennessee, and you see all these country music. I mean, you see their homes and all the things that they got going on, and then Kenny Chesney comes roaring over that mountain talking about Friday night football. And I'm going to tell you right now, it gives me chill bumps. Tell you something else that gives me chill bumps. We got a guy coming home, Mark, that I've always said, I know Steve and I used to talk about Bart, and what a tremendous, tremendous defensive mind he was and what a great job he did everywhere he was at. And you know, I'm going to tell you this, and I've said this publicly. Bart took some pretty tough jobs. He took some jobs that, I mean, it was tough. And he went in there with his head up and stuck his nose in it, and, I mean, battled and battled and battled. And I'm for one, and I know you are, I'm glad Bart Sessions is at Alma Bryant. And I'm telling you why, because that place needs some stability. You've said it time and time and time again. And they need somebody that loves that area and will come in there and stay there, and the people will rally around them. If they won't rally around Bart Sessions, they need to shut the school down.
Right.
I'm just telling you, that's the way I feel about it. And that's been my public statement for a long time, since Bart left McAdorian and has accepted that job. Coach, good morning, pal, and welcome to PSR.
Good morning, man. Thank you guys for having me.
Well, we're glad to have you, and we're glad, hopefully, that you got all your stuff moved.
Before the rain hit.
Before the rain hit. Mark Laster is our podna, as Randy Bergen says, and he knows that situation almost as well as you do, probably, and having spent time down there following the legend. That's what
he's a legend.
He's
right.
A legend. But we're just excited for you to be back and kind of tell us how all that went about, Bart.
You know, it's as both of you guys know, I mean, what makes these jobs are the people, and what makes a tough job are the people, and what, you know, and or the lack of people in some cases. And then what makes a job a good job are the people, you know, whether it be the players, the community, and in my opinion, first and foremost, the administration, you know, and when Mr. Sprinkle took over the school, obviously I'm very, very ingrained in this community still, have a lot of family here, and obviously, you know, I knew that he had taken over the school. That kind of opened my eyes to some possibilities down here just because I know about, you know, I've coached against him, competed against him. I know what he's about. I know who he is and know that he gets how important athletics is to the entire high school experience.
You know, he also coached that area down there, and it loves its athletics, and it just hasn't seemed to be able to get the wheels turning all in the right direction over the course of, I don't know, 10 or 15 years. And I just keep waiting to see that the person come in that understands everything about it, understands all the intricate details. When I went there, it was brand new, you know, and it was all about marrying Grand Bay and Alba together, basically. That was the thing that we were trying to do and build the indoor facility there. But the community rallied behind it. And you talk about a place to be on Friday night for a ball game. There's not a better atmosphere that I know of, I've ever been around, than down there in at Alma Bryant on a Friday night. So what do you see as you start into this new role at Alma Bryant, some of the things that you see that are already in great shape and things that need to be – that you need to work on that you're going to look to improve?
No, the thing that we have that makes the program what I think can be a great program are the people. You know, we have great kids, great young men. They come to work. They're blue collar. They understand what work is. You know, and they're really, really fun to coach. And that to me is kind of our advantage. Now, it's a big job. You know, the last time probably that the big indoor and field house was truly, I guess, renovated was when you were here, when it was built. So,
right.
You know, so it's been throughout the years, it's kind of, you know, there's just a lot of things that need to be done. Myself and Coach Sprinkle, our other coaches, our community is pulling together to make those improvements on our facility. And, you know, as you know, Coach Laster, here in very short order, when we get this thing right, we'll have the nicest facility south of Alabaster,
correct.
Maybe.
Yes.
You know, and,
love
and,
that.
And
yeah.
That's,
yeah. That's,
you know, that covers an awful lot of schools, and it's sitting right here. And that's as most people know, or maybe they don't know, every bit of this was built by our community.
That's right.
You know, 100% of it. So, so when you have that kind of support and those kind of people, you know that you can be successful. There's a great hunger out here for some success. Kids are here. You know, it's been kind of self-inflicted, in my opinion. There's been some things allowed to, you know, to kind of slide, and that in turn has allowed maybe some players that probably should be playing here to go play elsewhere. We're kind of addressing that by building relationships with some of our feeder programs. And in my opinion, those relationships haven't been cultivated as much as you have to ensure that those kids come and play for you.
You know, Bart, when you look at those two communities that were for so long so competitive with each other, and for so long here on PSR, for the 18 years that we've talked about this, what we've seen is a division. And that gap has got to be bridged. It's got to be bridged. And, you know, when David Sprinkle took that job, I think that was one of the things that we said on. I think Corey the Bounty said it, that was a major, major hire for athletics at Alma Bryant High School. And hopefully and prayerfully that division is now going to come together even more solidified as one with you there. I mean, your mom and dad were educators in that area. I mean, my goodness gracious, Lyme, your family's got a tradition of there. That's home to you guys. So hopefully that can come to fruition, Bart.
Yeah, you know, I'm from the kids that are here perspective, I mean, I see very little division.
Good, right.
You know, and quite frankly, I don't think that's as prevalent as people think. You know, it's. I'm sure there's some older people that wish there were still two schools, and
yeah.
Hey, they'll probably always wish that, but that's not the reality of it. We have a beautiful facility, campus, and you know what it's allowed. Not only is Mr. Sprinkle great for athletics, I mean our academics are top, you know, probably top in the county. To be honest with you, we have several programs that are very innovative in our academies, and you know he's improving the entire school and working to improve the entire school. I think the fact that you have two guys out here now that are from here,
yeah,
that take great pride in it, that understand that you know when you have two blue collar communities, at times you know there are people that that kind of look down their nose at those type communities. And he and I both grew up out here and understand that, man, that there are great quality people out here that are super hardworking. And you know, we can be as great as anyone in anything that we do.
You know, Bart, you're absolutely right. I remember when you said that about the blue collar mentality, those kids and the people in that area, they understand hard work. They respect hard work. They expect it from themselves, their kids, their family, anybody who works around them. And I remember when we were there I think it was maybe Eric or Todd or somebody made that statement. And when the kids used to pick up, would reach down at the end of practice and grab the grass, you know, saying, hey, we're the salt of the earth. You know, yeah. We're the people who work hard and this is what, you know, hard work pays off. And I think that you have hit right on, and you're right about the players. I remember when we were there, you know, there was some animosity a little bit between Grand Bay and Alba, and I think that has kind of dissipated itself. But the players in that room couldn't care less. It's just like they can't care less what color you are, don't care less what religion you are, don't care where you came from. They expect you to work when you line up next to them.
Yeah. That's good stuff. That's
absolutely right. And I tell you, man, it has been such a breath of fresh air for my family to get back in a situation where kids are trying their hardest to do the right thing.
Right.
You know, that's such a fun group to coach when they're – and we're going to take some lumps along the way, I'm sure, because we're young and we may be a little thin. But ultimately, it's going to be a fun group to coach because they're trying their best to do what we ask them to do.
Hey, we're talking to Bart Sessions, the head football coach at Alma Bryant High School. Bart, can you stay over for one more short segment?
Yes, sir.
Okay,
sure.
We're going to stay with Bart for another segment, and we want to talk about some X's and O's with him, have a little fun with him. We'll be back with head coach Bart Sessions, Alma Bryant High School, on Charleston Gas Atlanta Prep Sports Report.
Charleston Gas Lantern's Prep Sports Report is live every Saturday morning beginning at 8. Now back to the show.
You know, we're going to let Boss Gage go for a second. And Sheila Lee, absolutely. She's bought in to Boss Gags and Steely Dan. So.
You know he loves his
fun. Educator herself. They got a big fundraiser going on at their school. And I have not had any messages from her in fall. And I need to find out when that fundraiser is. We need to promote that. We sure do. And, you know, Jay Cozio was on with us a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking about the Blaine Shackelford golf tournament. And that tournament is going to be, I think, May 21st. And if you want some information about that that tournament, just give us a call here at PSR, and we'll give you that information. It is Friday, May 21st at Holly Hills Country Club right there. On the way to Bay Minette, and we're going to do everything. I know, Mark, that we're getting involved with it, and mm-hmm. I know maybe Phil and some of you guys are going to get involved with it there. But that's something that we're excited about. We got Bart Sessions on, and we want to get right to Bart in just a second. But do you need help in your business or family life with your state or the national government? You know, tax time's coming up. You may have questions or things like that an attorney or a lobbyist can help you with. If so, call our friend Braxton Counts at 251-476-9900. Braxton and Jimmy Duncan. Jimmy was a member of the United States Congress for over 30 years out of the state of Tennessee. They have joined together. They've teamed up to put you in front of the right people in either Montgomery or Washington, D.C. It's all about relationships, and Braxton and Jimmy have those relationships in both Montgomery and Washington, D.C. Give our friend Braxton Counts a call, 251-476-9900. We're talking to Bart Sessions, and Bart has come home. And, I always loved it when they said Coach Bryant answered Mama's phone call and came home, Mark. And I know you Alabama fans. Well, Bart Sessions did that. Bart could have a lot of jobs. He could. I mean, he's a quality football coach, and there's a lot of people that love to have Bart Sessions as their head football coach. But he's coming home, and he's coming home with family, and he's coming home with a passion for that community. And Bart, as you come home, talk just a little bit about your staff. Are you able to bring some people in? Is that a pretty well? I know I inherited a staff one time, and I inherited some really great coaches. But at the same time, it was something about wanting to bring a couple of your own guys in that you felt like could kind of take you in the direction that you wanted to go as assistants.
Yeah, I mean, we're still building our staff, actually. You know, it's at times and when you're in a county school system, it moves a little slower than us coaches would like, but certainly we understand that. But we have been able to hire a couple of guys in. We're bringing Carl Jackson in as our defensive coordinator. Of course, Carl and I were together at McGill Toolin, and he stayed on at McGill for several years, and I told him the entire time if I ever got within driving distance that I'd be hiring him and trying to hire him at least, and was fortunate enough to get Carl on board. We're super excited about that. I also have Dwayne Nelson, who was with us at McGill Toolin, and Dwayne's coming over. Dwayne's mother is an Alba graduate from back in the day, so he's also connected to this area and is going to be a big help to us out here. We've hired an offense coordinator. He's currently in Texas, but we'll be here for spring football. He's really excited about him. A guy named Austin Karcher has spent some time in the Birmingham area. He and I actually competed against one another up there, so I have a tremendous respect for what he does. Went over to Texas, and you know how football is in Texas, and his team actually lost in the semifinals to Art Briles' team. So, you know, a tremendous offensive mind and does a great job. He'll be coming over and joining us first week of May. I also have Greg Campbell coming in from Greg's actually moving to the Grand Bay area from California. He's been coaching out there, and his family, it's a family full of coaches. You know, his father's a junior college head coach. His brother's a high school head coach out there. He's coached on their two staffs for probably the last 20 years, so we're excited for him to be coming in. And I think we'll have some names to announce pretty soon going forward. You know, with that being said, there's some really quality guys here. You know, Coach Huddleston just walked in. Coach Laster will love this. We're scrambling around filling up ice chests this morning. We have our big drawdown tonight. So it's
that's an exciting time.
Oh, without a doubt, man. I can't wait for those fryers to get cranked up over there here in a couple hours and get some great seafood fried up. And, of course, somewhere somebody's making a massive pot of gumbo, so we're excited about all that too.
Yes, sir. And that there again, as part of that community, how much they appreciate what y'all do and appreciate that program. But, Coach, tell us a little bit about what y'all are doing for spring, what y'all have planned coming up in the next few weeks.
You know, it's you probably need to work backwards to forward on that. You know, we'll culminate spring training with we're going to play a spring game against St. Michael. You know, I was fortunate enough to get to sit down with Coach Rivers and kind of talk through what he and I envisioned in a spring game. And, of course, Simon Cortopassi, their defensive coordinator, played for us at McGill. So we kind of had that relationship, and we started talking about what we were both looking to get out of spring. And, you know, I don't know that either one of us is super, super concerned about going out and, you know, winning the title of spring champion. I mean, right. we're more concerned about our team getting better. And I think that that really, you know, kind of allowed us to set that game up. And that's really what we're looking for. You know, we tell our kids just get a little bit better each day. And if every individual will do that, then clearly our team's improving every day. We know that we have a lot of learning to do. There's going to be mistakes. Hey, we welcome that, you know, because we feel like we learn from those mistakes, and I think spring is going to be a great learning environment for our team, and hopefully we get out there and see who really wants to compete on the grass, and you know, get this thing going into the summer and build some momentum.
Hey, Bart, thank you for taking some time out this morning, and we can't wait to see the product that you guys put on the field. It's going to be some growing pains. But we're excited about it. We really are. Thanks a bunch, pal.
Hey, thank y'all for having me. And before I go, man, I know y'all have been pumping it up as well. But, man, what a great job. Coach Savarese, who just announced his retirement, always an advocate for coaches and kids in our state. I think every time we get a chance to honor that guy, we need to take it. I mean, you know, often criticized, but probably not complimented nearly as much as he should have been.
You followed him this morning, as a matter of fact.
Thanks, wow. Buddy.
Take care. We'll be back.
Take care, Bart.
With more Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports.
It's time for the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lassiter.
All right, welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Press Sports Report. Second hour, that first hour went by fast. We appreciate Steve Savarese spending a couple of sessions with us, and then Mark Sessions down at Alma Bryant, who do a great job, Mark. I just think that is the perfect
great fit.
Great
fit.
For Alma Bryant, for Bart to go in there. You know, Mark, you and I have talked a lot about Buddy Anderson. And being I'm talking about the class, the coach who has been at a program. Buddy was there for 30 plus years as a head football coach and athletic director, stepped aside this year, but he is the guy that a lot of us really look to as kind of the grandfather of all of us guys during our tenure as football coaches. I've known this guy that we're about to talk to, I think, all of my life, really, from the days at Huntington, and a guy that I can't, as much esteem and respect as we have for Buddy Anderson, Mark, I want you to know this guy. David Bethea is the head tennis coach at Montgomery Academy. And if I get emotional, you'll have to take this, because David lost his wife a couple of years ago. And tough battle. I mean, she fought. Beautiful lady, and was right by David's side in everything that he did. And David, I think, is the only tennis coach in the Alabama High School Athletic Association Sports Hall of Fame. I told Steve Savarese 5 years ago, the guy that needs to be in this Hall of Fame is David Bethea. He does everything the way I would want to do it, Mark. He does it with class. He does it with dignity. He's respectful to all of his coaches. His players absolutely adore him. He is just the guy that if you were to draw up the caricature, if you draw up anything of a coach, David Bethea would fit that. And, you know, us guys don't tell each other we love each other enough. And with us, as a faith-based program, we do that a lot, Mark. You and I do it. We do it, and that's just part of who we are. I genuinely love this guy because of the way he leads young men, and even more so because of the way he has run his program for years and years and years. He just won the 6A state championship, Mark, against teams like Mountain Brook, Briarwood. It's probably a 3A school. Probably is in numbers. Mm-hmm, probably right. What he is. And I just want to introduce David Bethea to our listening audience. 18 years and we've never had him on, and I'm ashamed of myself for that because he is a kingpin in high school coaching.
Do you know that I worked for his daddy?
Really?
Yeah. Years ago at Chaco Springs in Talladega RA camp one summer, and I know him and David and his brother Tim. Tim's at Trinity.
Yep.
And you talk about a wonderful family.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll tell you that story sometime about how I met their daddy. It's a wonderful story in and of itself.
Right.
But, yeah, great family. I'm looking forward to hearing David talk to me. It's good to hear from you, David.
Good morning, David.
Yeah, it's so good to be here. Thank you all for having me on.
Well.
And, Rick, you're too kind, man.
Well.
I'm the one that's going to get emotional now if we talk too much.
Come on now.
Well, that might not be true because we have been known to get emotional on this show over the years. And we are heard in the River Region. The River Region is your home, and we are heard there on one of the most powerful stations in the state of Alabama. So, but David, winning the 6A state tournament with all of those guys in there. You look at Mountain Brook, who you and I have thought for years is one of the most dominant tennis programs in the state, one of the most dominant in the South. But your guys go up, or you come to Mobile, and doggone it, it's close, 49-46, 49-49, and your number three doubles and your number one doubles team win two amazing matches. Kind of walk us through the emotion that you were going through as this thing was winding down.
Well, I tell you, Rick, I had a piece about this through the whole tournament. I just felt like there's a foundation kind of been laid by guys before this team, and they just kind of taught them how to win those clutch matches. And so I had a lot of peace with it. It was close, and our guys just kept winning matches that they had to, and they were hard fought. You know this in 6A tennis, there's not an easy match.
No.
It's never in all the years I've been coaching for one of my teams when we won, it's never come down to the last match on the court. Whoever wins is going to win, and whoever loses is probably going to get second. You know,
yeah.
So it was thrilling. And it was just fun for me to sit back and watch the guys play. I get so much joy out of that.
David, which one of you, was it your number one or three doubles teams that was on the court at the end?
It was our number one doubles team. we were playing Mountain Brook.
Right.
And we knew if we won, we were going to win it. And since our number three doubles won right as that number one doubles match was starting, we knew that the worst we could do was a playoff.
Right.
But my number one guy was gassed. I don't know if he could have gone another match. That might have gave him some incentive to play during that,
well,
during that
now,
match.
Now, let me ask you this. This is the question. You know, we're limited. We can only play four matches in a day. And would that have forced you to come back today?
You know, in a playoff, your one and your six players play, and
right.
Your two doubles.
Right.
And we were okay. We were at the three-match area with some of our guys, but Mountain Brook had a young man who wouldn't have been able to play.
Right.
So had we split the matches in a playoff, we'd have had to come back today or Monday and play.
Yeah,
so I'm glad that didn't happen.
Yeah, we've had to do that. We had to do that twice. Yeah. We had to meet in I think we met in Bruton, as a matter of fact, to play.
Wow.
But
I remember those days.
As I look at your schedule, you and Trinity must have had a couple of amazing matches this year.
We did. Well, the first time we played them, we beat them 7-2, but it was you know how this, you can beat somebody 8-1 and the match can be really close.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
But we beat them 7-2 and it was a good match. And then in our section tournament, it basically came down to a dual match between us and Trinity. And we beat them by 1 point. The match total was, we beat them 5-4. And they have a great team. A lot of just class young men. And they had a great tournament down there. They played well.
Now, are you young? Are you senior laden? What are you?
We lose our number one player, Hamilton Chapman, is a senior, and he's the only one of our top six that we'll lose.
Good gracious. It's every year for this guy, Mark. Every year they just keep on – it's just – they reload.
We're blessed to have a lot of young men who work hard at it. And, you know, your players are what makes you. We've had some good players.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. I am so excited that you won it. I couldn't come out there. It's the first year, of course, as you know. Meredy and I have been in depression. When we lost our number one singles player, we could have done it the way other people have done it before, like you and I don't do it, David. We could have arranged our lineup to maybe give us a better chance. That's not what's right. So, but anyway, it doesn't matter. We're so excited for you and your team because you do it the right way. And here at Prep Sports Report, our MO is we're all a part of building players, coaches, and officials up, not being a part of tearing them down. And God laid that on our heart 18 years ago, and He has found a way for us to continue to do this. But we are so excited for you and Montgomery Academy. And I just wanted to get you on because I love you, and I love the way you do it.
I appreciate it, Rick. And I don't know if anybody knows this, but I know your teams at UMS hold the boys' record for the most consecutive state championships, eight or nine.
Hey, we had great players, that's for sure. But you know what?
But I'd love to share this about Rick. And one reason I think we have so much love for each other, our wife first got sick. She had pancreatic cancer, and the doctors gave her 6 months to live. She lived 3.5 years, praise the Lord. But Rick would, when Rick found out, he would send her the texts, emails, just encouraging her. Had never seen her before, and she just loved this. And she finally got to meet him at a state championship coaches banquet. And Rick came up, gave her that big old bear hug he could give. And I mean, she started crying. And never forgot that. And I'll always have a deep love for Rick for many things, but for that, he's just always had a special place in my heart.
Well, there was a party in heaven yesterday, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I tell you, man, God's good.
Amen.
And win or lose in tennis or sports, he's just good in life. And
you're right, bro.
I feel like he's put me at where I am just to be an influence on young men's lives. And Rick, we all know these trophies, these championships kind of fade away. But, man, those relationships we have with our kids just last forever.
No doubt.
No doubt,
brother. No doubt, buddy. We love you, pal. We'll be in touch.
All right, Rick.
Take care.
Right. Thanks so much, guys.
God bless. David Bethay, Montgomery Academy, another blue map. We'll be back with more Charleston Gas Leonard's PSR. All right, welcome back to the Charleston Gas Leonard's Prep Sports Report. And, Premier Collision is your local auto body repair shop, owned and operated locally in Mobile, Alabama. For all of your auto body collision repairs, trust the experts at Premier Collision, your auto body repair specialist. Premier Collision, 1177 Sledge Drive, Mobile, Alabama. Give our friend Chris Garris a call at 251-478-4500. Good quality parts, professional staff, and the best prices in town. Boy, we sure appreciate him. Hey, guys, you know, have you had the chance to listen to the best golf show in the Southeast? Southern Fairways Golf and Radio, also it's a TV show. It's the premier golf show in the Southeast. It covers high school, college, amateur, professional tours, 52 weeks a year. Recognized as one of the top golf shows by many in the golfing industry. Randy Bergen and his pods, what is it, pods?
Pods.
His pods, Danny Spivey. I'm going to tell you, Danny Spivey should be a plus golfer. He's probably, I don't know, he may be a scratch. Former University of Alabama player, Randy Bergen's always deep in my pockets. I'm having to buy his Coca-Colas, and I'm just telling you, I can't find a way to beat him half the time. So, but boy, they're two wonderful men, and Christ-based, faith-based show. And they talk golf first, but I'm going to tell you, they talk a lot about football and every other thing that's going on in the sporting world. So if you get a chance, catch them right here on FM Talk 106.5 on Sundays from 11 to 1. That's Danny Spivey and Randy Bergen, Southern Fairways Golf and Radio TV show. So we certainly do absolutely love those two guys and love listening to them. Mark, I'm trying to get baseball scores, and for whatever reason, I just can't get them. I can't find them anywhere on AL.com, and I know Ben Thomas is working diligently to get those scores. I do know this. Bayside and Houston Academy split yesterday.
Right.
And they're going to play an if game, and that was scheduled for today, but you guys have not.
Hadn't said it yet because we're trying to figure out when the rain may stop. And
right.
It's off and on all day long, so I have not heard yet from our coach, and they're going to get together and try to set up a time. You know, Doug Lefford's, I guarantee you, he's at the field now working on it, trying to get it ready. And so we're just kind of waiting to see if we can find a time for that game today. I think originally it was supposed to be played at like noon, but I don't know if they're going to be able to play at noon today. So we're waiting on that game right now. I think if I remember some scores, I saw T.R. Miller won last night, and I think they went ahead and won both of their ball games. So they are going to advance to the next round. I don't know who they're playing. I think the winner of the Houston Academy Bayside game will play Trinity. I think that's right. Now, I'm doing a lot of thinking here without any confirmation in front of me, but that's what I understand. So if anybody knows the Sylacauga score, let us know. The second game last night, we don't have that one with us, and we're trying to find it. If you are listening and you know the Sylacauga score, let us know here at the station, and we can express that out.
Yeah, you can give us a call at 251-343-0106, and or you can text us that. You can do whatever. That's where we are right now. And I do have a couple of scores that have come in here. G.W. Long defeated St. Luke's, winning 12-2 and 11-6 yesterday at St. Luke's. A couple of other scores that are trickling in here now as we get on the wire. Gardendale defeated Minor in 6A, 16-3. Chelsea defeated Huffman 16-0 and 15-0. And I'm going to tell you, Huffman used to be a perennial baseball power, one of the great high school baseball coaches in our country. A guy by the name of Phil English was the baseball coach there for years and years. And what a true gentleman he was. Other scores have trickled in here. Spanish Fort defeated Opelika yesterday 4-1 and 6-0. Matthew Thompson had a great series against Opelika. Had two hits, three RBIs in the first game, and pitched a complete game shutout in the second. Congratulations to the Spanish Fort Toros there. Gulf Shores defeated Russell County. And, hey, that's a big, big win because Russell County for years, Kobe Rasmus's daddy, was a head coach there, and something happened, and he got suspended. But, boy, you're talking about what a great baseball program. Russell County is a perennial power over in East Alabama, and Gulf Shores defeated them yesterday 5-4 and 4-0. So they'll move into the second round with a sweep of Russell County. Homewood defeated Shades Valley yesterday, 9-1 and 13-0. Shades Valley's got a new football coach, by the way, Mark. Saraland, here's our buddy. Oh, boy. Brett Boutwell's team beat Park Crossing yesterday, 11-0 and 11-1. So they beat Park Crossing on the road. So that's interesting. So Saraland will now play Chilton County. Faith Academy beat Matt Seymour's team, defeated Leah Montgomery yesterday, 10-0 and 17-0. And Parker Carlson, as we all know, one of the premier pitchers, an Auburn commitment, won the first game, I think. And Drew Druckenmiller, I think his dad used to be the baseball coach at
Mary Montgomery.
Drew and then Gatlin Montgomery struck out 13 of those lead generals without allowing a hit in the nightcap. So congratulations to Matt Seymour and those guys there. Hayden in Class 5A defeated Leeds 7-1 and 10-2. Strolling down, still looking. St. Paul's defeated Andalusia yesterday. That's a big win. That's a big win for St. Paul's as they defeat Andalusia 1-0 and 6-1. And so I don't know. St. Paul's will advance. They'll play either Sipsey Valley or Beauregard in round two. And, of course, Kevin Raley and the UMS Wright Bulldogs swept a doubleheader from Charles Henderson, 9-1 and 7-0. Maddox Bruns had a tremendous game in the first game. Trey Singleton did a great job in the second game. And so now we'll play UMS Wright. Kevin Raley will play Pike Road next week, right here on the campus of UMS Wright. And so that's pretty much what we've got from local scores. Mobile Christian did defeat St. James out of Montgomery 5-4 and 17-8. Let's see if there's any. Westbrook Christian defeated Lamar County, doubleheader. That's pretty much it. That's all we got. Well, Bayshore Christian defeated defeated Red Level 11-0 and 19-0. Hey, we'll be back with Turner Ward. You don't want to miss this. Turner Ward right here on Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lassiter.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. And we got a buddy of ours on who, first of all, he's a faith-based man, Mark. And his story is an interesting story about a young man who took his baseball talents and took it to the highest level. He's a young man who has had family members struggle with health issues, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. Turner's going to share with us during our faith segment this morning. But we wanted to introduce Turner to Boz Skaggs this morning, and hope Turner enjoyed Boz Skaggs. I guarantee you Turner Ward's a country music fan. I can just about tell you that. Turner, how you doing, pal?
No, man, I'm doing good. How are y'all?
We're great. Mark Laster, Rick Cleveland, and we're just so glad to have you on. And we're going to try to keep you on here for about 25 minutes and share some things and really just talk a little bit of baseball with you because, if there's a guy that loves the game and has taught it at the professional level as a professional hitting coach and with some pretty doggone good Major League Baseball teams and even has shared some cheek kisses with some of the more famous Major League Baseball players. That's Turner. I mean, he's a passionate man, and his players absolutely love him. And but Turner, I saw you yesterday, and I kind of want to get a rundown. I know your son's playing for us out at UMS Wright, and I know you saw the game. I want to get your impressions of the big left-hander. That's coming from a professional point of view, and for me, as a former college umpire that umpired all over this country, umpiring college baseball, saw a lot of great pitchers. I don't know that I've seen a left-hander that could throw 98, could locate the ball, and do things that this young man can do. Just kind of wanted to get your impression of it.
No, of course. I mean, I've known, you know, Maddox. Gosh, since he was a tiny child, you know, and
yeah.
Actually, his dad and brother used to come watch me play in Pittsburgh. So we've just known the family for a long time, and you know, friends with them. But what's really impressed me about Maddox is kind of his work ethic and how he's kind of worked his way into putting himself in this position. And of course, that impresses me about a lot of kids that kind of take it to the next level. It's like, it's not just talent, you know, there is talent there, but it's like the work ethic you don't get to see behind the scenes. And, but yeah, you don't get to see too many arms of that quality at that age. And that's why he's going to reap the benefits of, at the Major League draft this year.
You know, Turner, when you look at a young man like that, and there's so much talk about travel ball, and I know you, there's people always wanting you to help their child hitting and doing all of that, and you're so gracious, and you've always got words of encouragement. Talk a little bit about travel ball. I talked to a young man yesterday who came by my office. It was his last day as a senior, and I said, What was it? You had that passion. He said, Coach, I played myself out. I just, you know, travel ball took my passion away from me. And I said, well, that was a choice you made. And now, you know, it do we play too much baseball, Turner?
Look, Coach, I think when anyone says a statement like that, I think there's kind of other circumstances or whatever that means. It's like, if you really have a passion for something,
right,
then that's what you want to do, and you just kind of keep doing that, and it's like you almost can't get enough of it,
right.
You know, so I think what happens is it the other outside forces. I don't want to blame parents or anything like that, but I know that, you know, that we can be pushy and all of that, but I think sometimes it's like, you know, the push becomes too much,
right.
And I think that's where kind of the fun of it kind of comes out of it. And each level these kids get to, the degree of difficulty gets harder. Okay, so now I'm facing better talent. Oh, I'm not really as good as I thought I was. Oh, I need to get better, or maybe I'm just not having fun doing it. So I think there's a lot more to it than just go, you know what, I just don't have the passion for it anymore.
Yeah.
And because I think that when you have a true passion, I just think, like, I compare so many things in life to my faith. It's like,
yeah,
man, do I have a passion for my faith, or is it just gonna get watered down by the good and the bad, or, you know, comfortable or uncomfortable, or am I just fighting through this fight, you know, because I know who I am, I'm comfortable who I am, and I'm comfortable with where I want to do, or like I'm comfortable where my eternity is, and I'm going to strive to get there. So,
right.
You know, I just think when a blank statement's made like that, it's like, what are the circumstances around it?
Yeah, yeah, that's – you know, Turner, yesterday after I saw you, I drove out to Westside, and I've never been to Westside, never been out and watched – and I watched a group of second graders play coach pitch. And Turner, I don't know if you do this. I hadn't done that in years. And I sat there and had the most fun watching those children play coach pitch. And those coaches, everything they said was positive. They encouraged. It's the most fun I've had in a long time watching a baseball game. And, you know, that's the roots. That's where it all starts.
You're absolutely right. I had a kid when I was coaching with the Bay Bears. I was a hitting coach, and this kid literally had the worst start of any career I've ever seen or heard of. So it was 0-for-30-something to start the season. So it's hard to recover from something like that. But what I did right in the middle of that around the 20, where he was just miserable, I literally just took him to Tucker that time,
yeah,
little league game. I was like, you know what? We're going to go watch somebody having fun. We're going to go watch kids that just out there loving it, because I tell these kids, you know, even at the major league level, you know, just because you love it and you want to play it don't mean it always loves you back.
Amen. Right?
So, you know, so when you can watch something at its purest form, when it's not being paid or you're not having the, you know, oh, the pressures of it and everything. So when you can watch it at its purest form, you get a really a different perspective of what really matters. And, you know, thank goodness that kid came out of it, you know, not too long after that. But you're right. Watching those young kids and just play because they just really love it, let's just support that, you know, and whatever, wherever it takes them, enjoy that part of it, because they're just getting taught life lessons all through it.
You know, and the thing that I really loved about it was how the daddies were coaching, but they were encouraging both teams. Both teams, they were encouraging them. And, you know, I come from an area where, hey, boy, if you don't win, you're going to eat pork and beans for supper. So, but these guys, they were just, it was a joy and a blessing for me to see that kind of encouragement from those guys out at Westside. Now, I've been to Municipal a couple of times, and they get pretty competitive, but I still see a lot of positive vibrations coming from those coaches that coach there. Real quick, because when we come back for the second segment, we want to talk about some things that your family has gone through with Wes and Donna, and I want you to share some things with that. We got about 3 minutes in this segment. Talk a little bit about Major League Baseball and where Major League Baseball is going. We're going into this extra inning thing, and we're putting a runner on second base. Man.
Man, I know. I roll my eyes right now just thinking about it, and I understand the reasoning behind it. And then the hitters that, you know, that put out there, they get the stats and they get the receive that, but the pitchers don't. I mean, you know, so I know this whole game, you know, it's not about stats, but when it comes down to monetary stuff, I mean, it is.
Right.
And they're trying to kind of, you know, save the arms of the bullpen, but yet, to me, that's the strategy of going into extra innings. We had we had an 18-inning game in the World Series. Man, that was the most fun.
And
then, you know, Max Muncy hits a walk-off there, but man, we played a 20-25 inning in the minor leagues one time. And, I mean, man, I had three position players pitch three innings each. And, man, when I see those guys, they still talk about that game, because it's just the strategy that you have to use, not only as a manager and the players getting out of their comfort zone, having to play different positions, pitchers hitting that wouldn't normally hit. I mean, man, it just – fans love that. So you won't see as much of that kind of stuff anymore because of that fact.
And relief pitchers now, what is the limitation? They have to pitch to a certain number of batters?
Yeah, you just can't come in to be a specialty lefty, you know. So that lefty needs to be able to get out not only lefties but righties.
Yeah.
So we've had so many specialty pitchers in the, you know, of course, the past, you know, decade or longer. I'm just going to use a decade, but so now you just don't have these specialty pitchers that can come in, throw to one guy. Oh, they pinch it. Bring in somebody else. Throw the righty on the righty. I mean, so, you know, there's just so much more analytics kind of going into it.
Right.
And that's kind of, you know, driven that.
All right, let's do some Turner Ward trivia here. Who'd you hit your first home run off of? I can tell you. Who'd you hit it off of?
Andy McGaffigan.
You did. That's good, Turner. Yep. That's pretty stinking good.
Hey, man. I mean, the reason I remember that so much, too, all my brothers drove up for that game in Kansas City, and I just had an unbelievable game that day. My first AB, I had a bases-loaded triple off his screwball that he threw, and then I hit a three-run homer my next AB, so I had six RBIs in my first two ABs, man. It was a good week.
Man, they had a parade in Satsuma that night. I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you. That was good stuff. Hey, Turner, we're going to come back, and I want you to share Donna and Wes's story with us, okay? Because they have been on our prayer list for a long time. We're talking to Turner Ward. We come back with the Camp Grace. Mark's going to step aside. He's going to give that up for one Saturday, and Turner Ward's going to share some really really special things with us on the Camp Grace segment. We'll be back with more Charleston Gas Lanterns and Turner Ward.
This segment of the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace. You know, God's grace is prevalent in so many aspects of our life that sometimes we just take for granted some things that God is blessing us with and we just doggone walk away from it. And don't realize that He's blessing us.
We don't count our blessings.
Don't count them. That's right. And this morning we're talking to Turner Ward. And, you know, let me tell you this. One of the great joys in my life was coaching his son, Tucker. I love Tucker Ward. I did my best to keep him playing football. He would have been one heck of a tight end, and he worked his fanny off and did everything we asked him to do. His passion was baseball, and he pursued it as far as he could pursue it, and I'll always love and respect Tucker. But his daddy is a guy that's really special, and Turner has he spread the gospel everywhere he's been, and he does it now in his hometown. And anybody that asks, he will speak to them about grace and the power of God's love. Turner's wife Donna, beautiful, beautiful lady. Turner definitely outkicked his coverage. I will say that. But Donna she's a cancer survivor, and she's written a book. And she and Turner are always available to speak, and golly, I want you to hear a little bit about Donna and how she is and where she is in her journey right now. But also, you know, we pray for Wes Ward here every Saturday morning, and Wes is Turner's brother, and struggled in the last year with his health, and we want to get an update on that, but we want Turner to share this morning during our Camp Grace segment about the journey that he and Donna and his family and Wes have gone on. So, Turner, you got it, and we are just so happy and blessed to have you with us this morning.
Oh, man, thank y'all for having me.
It's been a journey for Donna, and she's chronicled it in a book, and you've been right there with her. Anybody that knows you knows every step she takes, you take too. And let's share that and talk just a little bit about that journey and as we're moving forward today.
Well, I guess like for me and Donna, you know, we grew up together. I mean, she was 15, I was 16 when we started dating in high school. And, you know, of course, dated on through college. And she was with me through the minor leagues and, you know, of course, all the way through the big leagues. And even to the point where I was coaching in the minor leagues, and, you know, she got diagnosed with breast cancer in 2012 when I was with the Bay Bears. And, of course, anytime you get the C word, it's just devastating. It's like you don't understand. You don't really even understand what people are going through in situations like that until you actually experienced it. I mean, I can actually be in the – I mean, I'm living with my wife, and I still – can't understand some of the pain and the emotion. I can see pain, I can see emotion, you know, and I can still, you know, it's kind of a never-ending battle. And but to watch her kind of going through this process and started journaling immediately after her first surgeries when they removed her breast with a double mastectomy, but watching her journal, and literally she would sometimes be crying at the table, trying to lift her arm to write this book that she didn't know she was writing a book. She just knew that she was supposed to be journaling. And it was like a healing process for her. Well, she journaled for about 6 years, and then the Lord just kind of put something in a person in her life to help her write a book. And that's what she did. And she knew for a while. I knew for a long time, because she would send me these scriptures, and she would send me what she journaled that day, and it would be so profound, and I was like, Donnie, you're going to write a book. I mean, this is, people need to hear this. People need to hear about hope. And I think that's kind of where that whole, you know, that title even came from, is that, that hope that we have. Me and Donna wear a ring on our finger, and it's got the word hope on it.
Yeah.
And the reason is about in that first year, Donna said something. It was the saddest words I'd ever heard come out of her mouth. She goes, "I think I'm losing my faith." And I was like, "Donna, you're not losing your faith. You're just probably losing some hope." So it made me start studying this word hope. I wanted to know where hope was, what it really meant. And so looking it up and understanding that hope from a kind of our English word, our English version, is like a really a word of doubt. Oh, I hope I get this job. I hope I pass this test. I hope, you know, there's this hope, this like this false sense of certainty. Of hope. I just hope I can get through. But that's our English version of it. The biblical Greek word, and all the way to the Hebrew, is the word elpis. All through the New Testament is elpis, E-L-P-I-S. And that word literally means certainty of things to come. So it is a hope that you have. It's an eternal hope. And it's like a, like no matter what you're going through here on this earth, it is going to pass. As a believer, you're going to be sitting at the throne of God with Him in the hope of eternity. And so, when I really looked at this word, it wasn't just a word or something of hope. It was really a person. So it's like when you turn that hope that you have into the person of Christ, it is certainty that you're going to get through whatever you're getting through. It's going to be the most difficult thing that you have in your life. But without hope, without Jesus, who is hope, man, things are going to be really uncertain.
Amen.
And so that's kind of where we've grown to learn. And even for me, and watching Donna go through stuff that she has, and the pain has made me, it's risen my degree of compassion towards others. I always thought, hey, man, I'm a compassionate person, and, man, I love people, and I do. But, man, I understand more to a level I don't even want people to have to understand that that kind of compassion is, because I've experienced it another level in my own life.
Turner, That's mind-boggling, and we're so thankful that you and Donna are where you are. We've got about 30 seconds left. Bring us up to date on Wes.
And, I mean, he's better than he was a year ago. He's better than he was 6 months ago. He's better than he was 3 months ago. We've just about lost him twice.
Yeah.
He's just fought his tail off. He's still, you know, the virus that got into his brain, it caused some brain damage. So he's kind of in and out at times. But, you know, we're just praying and hoping for progression, and he has progressed. And so we're just hoping we can kind of get him to another level of rehabilitation.
Turner, thank you so much. You are a blessing, a true blessing, and we love you. I mean that from the bottom of my heart, pal.
Thanks for sharing.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
God bless. We'll be in touch, and our prayers continue. Thank you, Turner. Turner Ward. Folks, thank you. Thanks, Steve Savarese, Bart Sessions, David Bethay, Turner Ward. Great show this morning. Remember this, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, He is with you. God bless you. See you here, same place, same time next week.